We're going to get into it here in about just a minute. It's brought to you by American Financing. I actually talked to American Financing when I was buying my house, and they were super helpful when it came to walking me through all the options. And
you know, the deal with you is a perfect example, because you asked for something, quite honestly, and you know this, it was insane.
Yes, I asked for something insane.
Yeah, you asked for, you know, you want one of those deals.
I want them to pay me for the house.
Correct. That's what I, right. And they came really close. They searched and searched and searched, and you found somebody else who was like, you know, Steve's bank of ill repute.
Yes.
And they said, if Steve will give you that deal, you should take it. And they turned the business down.
They did.
Because it's not that. Their business is to find the right deal for you, to advise you, and for you to get the right deal. It's the best. It's AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net, or call the number on the screen.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, here we are. It is Thursday. Today, we are going to spend some time on a few stories that are just kind of more fun, more healthy. But we're also going to be talking to you about something that we've addressed on the TV show all week, and that is what's coming next. I told you when I was at Fox that the Arab Spring, or the Arab Spring in Egypt, would destabilize the entire Middle East. It would lead to a caliphate. Then that would spread up into Europe and destabilize Europe. And once Europe was destabilized, the right and the left, the far right and far left, would begin working together, not coordinating, but they would find the same things useful. And that would begin to collapse Europe, and it would spread here to the United States. I think all those things, I can make the case that those all have happened now. So what comes next? We do that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We've cleared out the commercials on this half hour, every hour of the program, just to stop just for 1 minute at a time, twice, so we can pay the light bills but get right back to content. We want to tell you about our sponsor. It is Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, best safes built in America. They are the number one safe in America, and for a reason. They are just rock solid. And when I say that, I think of, what was it, 1,000 pounds of,
yeah,
wasn't it 1,000 pound stone or something that they took up two stories?
Block of concrete, wasn't it?
Yeah, block of concrete. Yeah. And they took this ton of concrete, dropped it two stories on their competitor, and it crushed the safe of the competitor. The door flew open. It was not in good shape.
This is very important if you happen to have built your home under a bunch of cranes that hold a ton
of concrete
blocks,
right? Exactly.
Right. Any of them could fall at any time.
Drops on the Liberty safe. That thing, it still didn't open.
No.
It still didn't open. It was barely dented in comparison, especially.
It mainly just looked dirty.
Yeah. Liberty safe. If you want to make sure that your guns are safe, your papers are safe, whatever you have that you want safe, Liberty Safe is the place to store it. You'll find the best deals and the best safes at libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com. So when I was at Fox, I told you the Arab Spring would spread. It would destabilize the Middle East, bringing the rise of a new caliphate. And then it would spread to Europe. Members of the right and the left would use that chaos to their own advantage, and it would eventually spread to the United States. Well, that is done now. I mean, we are talking about the border. What is it that Hillary Clinton just went over to Europe and said was the biggest problem with the destabilization of Europe? Migrants.
Yeah.
Remember?
Which is amazing for her to admit.
Right. Yeah. They caused it. Those migrants came from the Arab Spring and the caliphate. So you had a crisis. You had to get them out. What are we debating now? We're debating a crisis and immigration. So the left tells Europe, wow, you guys shouldn't have done that. But they're still telling America, you should do that. Doesn't make any sense. So that's complete now. So what happens next? In this year of shows, we're going to be concentrating on eight categories, and I want to spend some time today working on these eight categories and explaining them to you, and then we're going to take phone calls for the TV show today. So if you have any questions or ideas or thoughts, please share them at 888-727-BECK for TV at 5 o'clock. It's live 5 p.m. Eastern time. And you can call that number. I recommend that you call a few minutes early, and that way you're kind of guaranteed a spot. All right. So what's going to happen next? Well, I don't think any of these things are going to come as a surprise to you, but it's what we need to concentrate on. The polarization is going to get worse. This is the political polarization, not just here in America, but all around the world. The polarization is going to get worse, and it's going to cause more riots in the streets, more unrest. Civil unrest is coming. And you're going to see again the left and the right coming together because their purposes will be to collapse things. So polarization is going to get worse. The economies will then nosedive. Now, these could be out of order. The economies could nosedive. And then polarization gets worse. But the financial system is going to be in danger again. Some countries will collapse, like Germany collapsed in the 1930s. Oil and the petrodollar will be weakened, putting countries like Saudi Arabia and Russia into economic chaos. And this, as this happens, you add in to it tech causing downward pressure on jobs and wages and communications and education. And this will add more pressure on countries like the United States and China. And at some point, because of all of these things, people will no longer believe in any system. The government, the tech sector, press, all of it will be discredited. That's when things get really dicey. And that's when things like the government and tech begin to merge with each other. Now, I've laid out on the last three radio shows the sectors that we're going to be watching. And because they're all dominoes, and I want to go over some of them with you, because I want to ask you if you are if you have experience, or you would consider yourself well informed on a few topics, and you could help us look for stories and connections. We need you to do that. And you can sign up and be part of our team, if you will, at research@glenbeck.com. That's research@glenbeck.com. And we'll give you some of these categories. But for instance, I'm not an expert on AI, but I'm very well read on it. And if I were just a listener, I'd be like, oh, no, I know a lot of stuff and I watch that sector. You know, I can contribute stories because I see stories that are never making it into the mainstream. And I understand how that connects to the future. You know, I am very fascinated with Russia. And so I watch that and I see things that are never in mainstream. We want you to be a part of the team that just would contribute things to us from time to time, so it's on our radar. And again, you can do that by sending stories to research@glenbeck.com. I want to give you a story that happened yesterday that explains exactly why all of these are need to be watched and how any of these eight different categories can tie in and be the catalyst for collapse and true chaos, and global war. Going to give you a story that just was announced or just happened yesterday during this show. If you've been following the French Yellow Vest protests, well, let me just assume that maybe you haven't. The Yellow Vest protests started just recently because the Yellow Vests were upset about a fuel tax. That fuel tax was being imposed on the citizens of France, and it was to pay for all the global warming nonsense. well, the people were for the global warming. You know, we got to stop global warming. But then once that tax actually hit them, they were like, well, no, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. You don't tax us. And so they wanted that tax removed. And so they started these yellow vest, what are called yellow vest protests. And it about 1,000 people have been injured. Hundreds have been arrested. Several people have died. It's been ugly in France. Well, Macron came out and he said, OK, we're taking away the tax. Well, that just showed the people on the streets, the radicals, not the average people, but the radicals that were leading it. Ah, they blinked. We can get them. Now, I want you to think of the people who are wearing the yellow vests. Most of them are just like you. The ones who are leading it are more like Antifa, more like Occupy Wall Street. What's happened is after he blinked, the left and the right got together. Again, not coordinated. They're not on each other's side. But they both want to tear the system down.
I mean, because you say the leadership's like Occupy Wall Street, but one of the big things they fought about initially was repealing the horrible gas tax that was bankrupting a bunch of French citizens because they were paying triple basically the old gas prices.
Correct.
So it was not necessarily just a left-wing movement to start. It's that the people are now seeing that opportunity and grabbing control, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So now what you have here is a movement that is now being copied all over Europe. This is happening in Sweden. This is happening in Germany. This is happening in Belgium. It's happening all over Europe. It was happening in England. This is a national movement in France that now has 70% approval rating. Well, yesterday they announced that they want to collapse the bank and they want to collapse the euro. And so they are asking this weekend to go in, have French citizens go in and take at least 20% of their cash out of their bank, transfer it out of the euro and into Bitcoin. If there was a movement here in America that had a 70% approval rating and they could convince 70% of 50% of this population to take 20% of their money out of banks, that would be a real, real problem for America. This could be one of the things that collapses the euro, that collapses the economy over in Europe. I don't know if it will be, but this one story has everything in it that I'm looking for and is a good explainer on how these things can happen. Political polarization, the distance between the media and the government, that friction between them has caused polarization. They don't trust their government anymore. They don't trust the banking system anymore. They don't trust any politician anymore. So it has bubbled over and it went into street riots. Then they're using this power to buckle the economy. This could bring the entire system down. But what happens next? Let me focus on that and the eight categories that you need to be aware of. When we come back in 1 minute. Just passed 1 year of taking Relief Factor. 1 year. And I am thrilled with the results. I really didn't. I had friends who had been taking it here at the studios for, 3 years?
Yeah.
And I just don't buy. Does this make me a freak or does this make me normal? I just don't buy into the organic.
Oh, I'm totally with you on this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if it's 100% natural, I'm just like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Okay? The skepticism is built in.
Yes. But this was created by doctors, and it has four key ingredients, and its job is to reduce inflammation. You know, once you're really having pain, I mean, real pain, you kind of bone up on how bad inflammation is. So anything that reduces inflammation, you got to try. So I tried it because my wife was like, yeah, try this, because I was at the end of my rope. Tried it starting a year ago. It's been a year anniversary here in December, and I'm still taking it today because it works. Try the 3-week quick start. It's only $19.95. That's a dollar a day. It's like a trial pack. 70% of the people are just like me. It works. You might be one of the 30% where it doesn't work for you, but you'll be out $20. But if you're part of the 70% that it does, you're going to have your life back. So get your life back. It's worth a try. It's relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. 10 seconds, station ID. Stu, do you think the average person that maybe is not listening to the Glenn Beck program has a clue as how close the world is on being totally reset?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, look, if you look at where we are, the economy's in a pretty good place. I think there's the people who follow politics, even if they don't understand the underlying situation, are so beat up with the polarization that I think some of them, particularly like on the left who don't like Trump, are going to be maybe understand that or at least feel that things are out of sorts. But that's not what you're talking about. That's not what this is. There's part of it that's an ingredient to this whole mess.
Yeah.
But really it's
the sum of the parts that are concerning. And the sum of the parts are some of the things that we've always looked for. It's the sum of the parts that led me to, it's caliphate. This riot in Egypt is going to lead to a caliphate. Now, some people are like, well, it wasn't a caliphate in Egypt. No, but it was a caliphate, which you were sounding out the word while you were condemning me.
Yeah, remember they used to mock you and then mispronounce the word?
Yeah. Glenn Beck thinks his caliphate is going to happen. Excuse me? What? Anyway, so I want to give you the categories that I think will help you navigate, because with self-education and information, you're going to be able to find shelter and growth and freedom. The world is going to be facing we're approaching a crossroads. We're either going to be, as they will be shortly in Asia in 1984, and that's the Orwell book, or in the West, we will be living a brave new world. Now, that's one option. We're going to be living basically in a cage, and it's either going to be a soft plush cage.
Self-constructed.
Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be a 1984 nasty cage. That's one side. The other is more freedom than the world has ever experienced. More freedom for you than you can possibly even imagine today. Because the world is changing, and the freedom factor that we are looking at is off the charts. But there's not a lot of middle ground on this one. So you want to be aware of the world of tomorrow. Because you are so busy navigating the world of today and trying to figure it out. We need to watch a few things. And I have always said that this audience is going to be the audience that turns the corner. If that's you, if you feel like, you know what, I want to be a part of the good future, then you need to be boning up this year on what's happening so you can be the person that says, wait, stop, don't go there. Because we are approaching that time quickly. All right. I'm looking at a few stories, and I want to just hit the categories first. Civility and chaos. It's important to look at civility as well as chaos, because you want to be in those places where civility thrives. I mean, I'm really close to just telling you where I've built my ranch, because it's where people should live, but I don't want necessarily everybody to be in the area where my ranch is, but you need to find places like this.
It's called California, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
It's angels. It's the city of angels.
Right. It's a place. It's a very small farming town. And it's important to look for places of civility. And farming towns are really critical to us because they know as farmers that I have to help my neighbor. Because if my neighbor is in trouble, their crops failed, or their tractor or their well went down, I've got to be over there with my tractor or my tools to help them, because my well is going to fail. My tractor is going to be in disrepair. My crops might fail, and I want them to help me. So it's a society that is self-reliant, and you rely on each other.
There are some strange odors from time to time.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're near milking cows, all of the time. But it's also important to pay attention to the chaos site. And who is the Yellow Vest, Antifa, even the Proud Boys, in a very small way in comparison. Anything that leads to instability or chaos, you've got to be aware of it. Also, those who are unheard or feel they are unheard. We need to double our efforts as people to make sure that those who are feeling alone and feeling unheard are not feeling unheard by us. And I need to make sure that everybody in this audience feels heard, that you have a way to have your voice and your opinion put out there. That's going to be very, very important for stability. Then the other thing is politics of meaning. And like, for instance, yesterday, Donald Trump walked out of the meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Now, I could give you an hour on all of the ins and outs of that. But here's the politics of meaning. If you go in to buy a car or a house, and somebody says, what are you looking for? And you say, well, I have this, are must-haves. If they say, well, I can never even get close to that, or I don't have that, or I'm not offering, or I'm not willing to give that to you, what do?
Walk out.
You walk out because it's a waste of time. It was a waste of the president's time because he has certain things are must-haves. That's politics of meaning. Nothing else needs to be said.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
ZipRecruiter is the smart way to hire. Now, ZipRecruiter, when I first started with ZipRecruiter, they were not, I use quotation marks, smart, because they weren't using the algorithms that they're using now. I mean, this company has grown into this amazing, their CEO is incredible, way over the horizon. And he saw this coming, and so he built this company. They actually bought the old Google building in Los Angeles. That's how many scientists they have working on the algorithms. And they've perfected it, so when you put in an ad and say, hey, look, I'm looking for this kind of person to fulfill this job, they're going to find the people that are around you, that are qualified, that maybe never even read that ad, wasn't even thinking about you, may don't even know you. You're going to get a qualified candidate within an hour. Try ZipRecruiter for free now. Hire the right person fast. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Do it now. This is the Glenn Beck program, and we're talking about what is coming and how we want to focus this show. And I want to bring you in quickly on what we're looking for, because I look at you as a partner on being able to chart a course for either the greatest freedom, health, and wealth the world has ever seen in this next page and chapter of human history, that I think we are now on the bridge. We are in a year from now, you're going to be standing on the other side of the bridge, and everybody's going to see this, I think, clearly. But we're moving so fast, and we're not educating or even including the average citizen in some big topics. We're all just concentrating on what CNN said and what Fox do and what did Trump tweet. That's meaningless stuff. So I want to give you 8 categories that we are going to really focus on and try to put the world into context. and show you what leads to a collapse and totalitarianism and what leads to freedom. So the first category we talked about was civility and chaos. It's important to look for, you know, the goodness index and charity and faith and religion where it's working. But it's also really important to look at civil unrest and war and instability and those who are preaching chaos. For instance, Iran and Russia, now Cuba and Venezuela. Politics of meaning. Things that really, truly matter. Tweets don't matter. Tweets do not matter. But what the president is doing with the trade war in China matters, but not for reasons that most people even understand. That arrest in Canada of the Chinese CEO, that was the thing that opened it up for me. And I went, oh, my gosh, this is what's really going on. And you need to understand that. Also, money and how money is going to change, how jobs and employment is going to change, our debt, our personal debt, our credit card debt, European debt, banking scandals, the way governments are going to start trapping people's money. I bet you don't even know that your money has really been trapped. If the bank collapses here in America, you're not getting your money out. They're going to give it to you. You know, the government will guarantee it. But you're not getting your money out because the banks have changed the rules. I think you watch this weekend to see if France starts to trap people's savings and their checking accounts in their banks this weekend. The next category would be education. What are the jobs of the future? What are the education alternatives? How about entrepreneurship, home education, the goals of Common Core? Common Core changed names, but the goals remain. Medicine. Medicine, we have to look at it in a couple of ways, both positive and negative. Socialized medicine versus the free market. New ideas on how to provide healthcare cheaper. High-tech healthcare. Things that will that we have to decide whether they're good or bad. For instance, Humana healthcare. Giving away a free Apple Watch if you just sign up. Well, that's great. Well, what they want is the information from your wrist. Are you exercising? Are you standing when it says stand? Are you moving? And that will become more and more intrusive. Well, it's good for the free market. Is it good for your privacy? Also, with things like CRISPR and the complete live system, that is coming, and we're already seeing it in Great Britain. We have to talk about ethics. Ethics also plays a big role in the next category, and that is high tech. Surveillance, AI, AGI, ASI, the game changers. The biggest game changer on the near horizon is 5G. When that happens, you better understand why that's a game changer. And that plays right into China. But things like empathy with technology. Which are the first jobs to go? By 2020, you're going to start seeing sincere, significant job losses, permanent job losses, for instance, in trucking. Media is the next topic, the old versus the new. This is where the disenfranchisement really happens. What is the old media talking about, and what are people actually talking about? The deplatforming and digital ghettoization of the politically incorrect, which leads to the last topic, and that is something I call the United Corporations of America. Google, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. Who are they buying? Who are they destroying? What are they building? Who are they hiring? Who are they merging with? What are they lobbying for right now? I think it's really important that the people who were for net neutrality, did you know that it was Google that wrote that law? Why would Google be interested in that? Are they really just for you? What are their actions overseas, especially in China? Who are they silencing and deplatforming online? And who's advising them on what hate speech really is? The creepy line, the partnership with government. Those are the things that we have to concentrate on. We're not going to give you all of the day-to-day little things, other than like what we just did with Donald Trump walking out of the meeting yesterday. We could dissect that for an hour. But is it worth more, if you're looking for meaning, is it worth more than this explanation? Pat, welcome to the program. You walk into a store, you're buying a house, and you walk into the real estate agent, and they have a whole list of, oh, I've got so many houses to show you today. Good. Do you have houses that are all under $1 million? No, I don't have a single house that's, you know, they're all $3 million plus. Are you somehow or another being insincere by not saying, well, I can't afford that. I told you specifically we wanted a house under $1 million. I'm leaving. Is that somehow wrong?
No.
So how is it wrong that the president said, this is a condition, I must have a wall? Now, we can talk about everything else, but in the end, I must have a wall. And if you say no, well, why should he waste any time?
Which is what he said.
Right.
It's a complete waste of time.
Right. That's not a temper tantrum.
No.
That's what you do in your life. That's politics of meaning. Those are the ways we need to start looking at things this year and having conversations. Anything I missed, Pat?
You got the politics of meaning, but you don't have the politics of dancing, I noticed. I don't.
That's in 2020.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He does. All in 2021 right. Is the politics of ooh, feeling good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, because that's going to be fun. When we
right.
get to the ooh, feeling good part,
oh, yeah, that's, gonna
that's
be
the fun talk.
Yeah,
that
it might be a little later than 2021.
I don't know. Culture? Does culture fit into one of these?
Yeah, I put that into
spirituality.
I put that into the first category of civility. What did I call it? Civility and chaos.
Okay.
The civility part is what causes us to be civil to each other. Faith, charity, empathy.
So it all fits into the civility chaos category.
Yeah. To make sure that it's important that we look for the good places too, and the positive things, because I think our job as broadcasters, if we take our job more seriously than just, hey, we got to make money and get some ratings, our real job as broadcasters is to help people navigate their world and find stability in their life,
if that's possible. Yes.
You don't think it's possible?
It is. It's just hard to find sometimes. Isn't it? I mean, it's some days it's like, is there any stability? Is there any common sense? Is there any common ground anymore? There are days when it looks like there isn't. Like none of those things exist anymore. I know they do. It's just hard to find.
So you know what was interesting on yesterday's program? Yesterday we had all the people from Blaze Media on. Not all of them. We couldn't fit all of them on. But we had a lot of them. And we had them from significant libertarians to, you know, significant MAGA people. And what I found yesterday was similarities. There were differences, but the differences I thought were healthy differences and could be bridged, where we have taken the conservative movement and we have chopped it all up. And I've been a part of that, chopping it all up. And we have to come back together and embrace each other. If you say, I believe in the Constitution of the United States.
Did anybody agree with doing the wall through executive order?
Still?
Anyone agree with it?
Yeah. Was anybody okay with doing it that way?
There's one person who was, right? Was it John Miller,
I think,
who was saying he thought it was a viable, but he wasn't like super strong. He was like, I'd rather not do it that way.
Yeah, I don't think there was anyone who was like, I hope he does that.
Yeah.
I think it kind of goes to where you've been on. I don't see another way of getting it done.
Right. Right.
Right.
And it's just it's frustration and it's leading into a point you don't necessarily want to be in. But right. I mean, it's understandable. We've been talking about this for 20 years.
Would it be the worst thing in your mind that's ever happened? Would you be heartbroken if it happened?
Can I tell you something?
I don't know.
I really think we should start talking about the wall this way. Look, part of the reason why people are upset about free universal health care is because we cannot afford to give health care to the entire world. And if the entire world can just walk across our border and then go into a hospital and get free health care, We're bankrupt. We're already bankrupt, but there's no way of doing it. You can't have a welfare state and open borders. Now, that doesn't mean you have closed doors. It just means you have doors. Mm-hmm. People can come in the right way. We want that. But those people will come in the right way, and they'll make money. They'll enhance our economy. Mm-hmm. They'll pay into the system, and then we can afford more than we can afford today if we just have open borders. I don't know why we don't talk about it this way, that it's the only way healthcare can be afforded at all. I mean, it's still socialized medicine still doesn't work. But if you have open borders, there's zero chance of this working.
Yeah, the border is a real serious situation. You know Glenn's ongoing cascading caliphate theory that he's talked about for many years and turned out to be completely right on. That's why I've come up with my own cascading theory, which starts with people finally realizing that avocado is disgusting.
I'm there.
Right, mm-hmm. You see? It's already happening. Oh, it's already happening.
I don't like it when you cut it and take the pit out. It's already bad. Mm-hmm. But I was on vacation. My daughter took one out that had been in the refrigerator for a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is baby poop.
Yes.
Get it away
from
me.
It's disgusting. It starts turning brown.
Brown. Get it away from me.
I think Jim Gaffigan says he buys them at the supermarket and just immediately throws them out there because that's what he winds up doing anyway. So this is a deep theory.
Okay. Okay.
Avocado's disgusting. This destabilizes the Mexican economy, causes a new border crisis. Mm-hmm. The wall gets built. Mexico retaliates by closing 70-80% of Taco Bell locations in the United States. This leads to a hot war, which we would call the fire sauce war.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then once 300 million people or so die, there's a treaty signed which requires Spanish subtitles to be on every television program in the United States.
That's how it happens.
And then we all commit suicide.
That's how it happens.
That's how it ends.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. Wow.
So when you That's find powerful. Yourself reading Spanish subtitles, you'll know.
You'll know.
You'll know. It all started with your avocado and your stupid refrigerator. All right, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe is the best way to protect your home, protect your stuff, protect your guns, even your prescriptions. Man, I hate to think that you have to lock up your prescriptions in your own home, but you probably have to lock up your prescriptions in your own home. Keep them in a Liberty Safe. What am I talking about? I keep confusing Liberty
you,
Safe.
Did you have avocado for breakfast?
Avocado
toast. That's what he ate for breakfast, and now look what's happening.
You know what? I had an omelet this morning, and I do believe it had avocado in it.
This is
That's
all
it is.
Happening.
My
How
gosh.
Many times have I said it to you?
Sorry.
The
okay.
media wouldn't listen. By the way, the answer to that is one. I said it once.
All right. So Simply Safe protects your home. It's not a safe. I'm sorry. Simply Safe protects your home and makes sure that nobody is opening a door or a window. It is the best technology out there. I brought this in earlier this week. I just got this. Free systems, free sensors, free Visa gift card, and the lowest monitoring price, $30. No,
the lowest, except for the one that's half that cost.
And you're locked into like a 5-year contract. This is horrible. Simply Safe has it for $14.99 a month. You own the system. There are no gimmicks. They're not giving away free stuff because it's never free. Simply Safe, simplysafe.com. Go there now. Simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. So, Stu, can you help me out on something? The Shannon Joy Show tweeted something out earlier today, and she said, "It appears some of the big talkers are softening on DACA and amnesty. Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity signaling that they'd essentially take a gang of eight for a few billion in border fencing."
You signaled that? When?
When? That's what I tweeted. And I said, Shannon, no. Can you give me a quote on where I said that? Because I didn't. If somebody took something I said to mean that, no, that's not what I mean.
In fact, the new deal, which Lindsey Graham is proposing now, is not just DACA. Remember, the old deal a year ago was DACA for full border wall funding, which is something even I didn't like even then. Now, the new deal is DACA for $5.7 billion, but the Democrats aren't going along with that. So Lindsey Graham has upped the deal to $5.7 billion for DACA and like three other Democratic priorities on the border.
No.
And it's like Susan Collins is involved,
no.
and Tom Tillis is
no.
involved, and a bunch of sort of that Gang of Eight crowd.
No, no. Look, we said we will talk about those things once the border is secure. We had $30 billion they were willing to give us just a year ago. Now it's $5 billion. That's not going to get the border secure. No. It's not going to do it. No. No. And I hope the president stays tough on this. But I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, we're now negotiating for $5 billion. That's not enough to get this border secure. I'm not willing to talk about amnesty at all until you've secured the border. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor quickly before we go on the national radio program, and that is Relief Factor. Everybody has pain, and there comes a point in your life where you're like, I don't want to live like this, and I don't want to take, you know, prescription drugs because it's just poison. There's a natural remedy now for key ingredients that stop inflammation in your body. And, you know, it can be for, you know, the old football injury or the neck or just sleeping wrong. I take it every day, three times a day, and I have seen dramatic pain relief.
As have, what, 70% of people who've tried the three-week quick start?
Yep. ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com or you can call 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com. Try it now. Get your life back. Get out of pain.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't want to deal with he said, she said. I don't want to deal with politicians. And I quite honestly, I don't want to deal with the media anymore. I'd rather go right to the person who really knows. Do some fact checking. What is the real situation on the border? Well, we have the former chief of the Border Patrol. He's going to be joining us in about a half an hour. Also, read this great book called The Skyscraper Curse. If you don't know what the skyscraper curse is, it's a theory, but up until recently, nobody had really done the homework on it to see if it was correct or not. When the world builds and unveils a new huge skyscraper, the economy collapses. Is that even true? We have Dr. Mark Thornton on. He is the guy who wrote The Skyscraper Curse. It's a fascinating theory. We go there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I'm going to pause here for just a minute here.
Yeah, we changed the clock around a little bit, the way we do the show in the front half hour of each hour. Mm-hmm. We were able to remove all the commercials except for two. So now you're, and by the way, those commercials are live commercials like the one we're doing here. So we never really leave the show other than for
about a minute.
Yeah, about a minute.
Okay, so let me tell you, our sponsor is Field of Greens. Field of Greens, I don't know about you, but I hate salads. I hate greens. I like fruit from time to time, but I never want to be forced to eat fruit. I probably would have had scurvy. I would have been probably, you know, patient zero with scurvy back in the day. Because I like to eat fruit, you know, when it's in season and when I feel like it. I hate it. You should have some fruit. You know what you need is another salad. Shut up.
Get out of my face.
Kale should never be eaten, mm-hmm. ever. It's a superfood. Shut up. So now here's what there is for people like me and healthy people, too. Field of Greens. Field of Greens is a salad and some fruit, everything that you need in a spoon. You just put it in, mix it with water, mix it with a smoothie, mix it with anything you have. You don't ever have to have a salad again.
Yeah, it's a get out of salad jail free card.
Yeah. So you don't have
that's
to
not,
say.
It's not their official
you
slogan.
Don't have to think in your head when your wife says, have a salad. You don't have to think in your head, I'm not having a salad. You can just say, oh, I already had mine. In fact, I had two today. Field of Greens. Field of Greens. Go to BrickHouseGlen.com, BrickHouseGlen.com. You'll get 15% off your first order. BrickHouseGlen.com. Experience a better you with a salad-free life in front of you at BrickHouseGlen.com. Okay, now this guy's got to probably have to talk down to us a little bit. We're going to pretend we're smart, but he is a senior fellow at the Von Mises Institute. So I don't know if he can. It are several mouse Mises. We don't know. He might be able to answer that for us. He's an economist with the Mises Institute and the author of the book, The Skyscraper Curse. Dr. Mark Thornton is with us now. Doctor?
Yes, go ahead. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you very much. So I have always been fascinated by the skyscraper curse, and it is, I've never really looked into it like you did. Your book is absolutely fascinating. Can you explain what the theory is first?
Well, the basic theory is that when a record-setting skyscraper is built anywhere in the world, by the time it's completed and ready to open, the world is going to be experiencing an economic crisis. And so the curse is the economic crisis that is associated with the building of a record-setting skyscraper.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Woolworth Building around 19, what was it, 14, 15, something like that, that did not... does not fall into that category. And that was the world's first real kind of skyscraper.
Well, you know, we've been building taller and taller for about 150 years. And the skyscraper curse occurred earlier during the panic of 1907. But as the Woolworth Building was being built and it was being redesigned to go even higher to set the record. And then when it set the record in 1913, there was no economic crisis that followed. And so the original architect of the skyscraper curse, a real estate analyst named Andrew Lawrence, he called the Woolworth Building a mistake of the skyscraper curse. But when I went in and looked at the detailed statistics, what I found is that the U.S. economy was going into a severe recession just as the Woolworth Building was being prepared to be opened in early 1914. But what Andrew Lawrence forgot or just neglected was the fact that World War I was starting in Europe, and all of the major powers of the world were getting ready for a war, and they were buying steel, they were buying grain, they were buying weapons, mm-hmm. they were buying materials. And so that reactivated the U.S. economy and brought us out of what was one of the worst downturns in U.S. economic history.
Okay, so give me some, because I think it's fascinating. The Chrysler Building is completed. There's actually two skyscrapers. Donald Trump owns one of them now by Wall Street, and the Chrysler Building completed. We have the crash of 29. The Empire State Building's completed a year later in 1930. And we go into the Depression. In, what was it, 1970, the World Trade Center?
That's right. We were on a tremendous record-breaking business cycle boom during the 1960s. Economists from the Keynesian school thought that they had been able to do away with the business cycle, and business cycle courses were being taken out of the curriculum going into 1970 as the World Trade Tower 1 and 2 were being built and rising in New York City, soon to be followed by the Sears Tower in Chicago. And what happened was just as all this grandeur and glory for the Keynesians was reaching a pinnacle, the U.S. went into an economic crisis. We had the stagflation of 1970 through 1982. We had the U.S. Going off the gold standard. Things were so bad. We had wage and price controls being imposed by Richard Nixon in 1971, just as the trade towers were coming to a new record height. And so that was a spectacular menacing sort of example of why we shouldn't trust Keynesian economics.
So before we get into what you see on the horizon, what I really appreciated was the theory on why this is happening. Now, there's another theory out there that, like, for instance, the Sears Tower. whenever you build a tower, and I think again, Woolworth was the exception to this. Whenever they build a record tower, that company is at its peak. It's all downhill from there. And you kind of can understand that because you're thinking, okay, well, they're arrogant now. But the way you look at this skyscraper and the things that you say, why this happens makes total sense. So can you explain your theory on why this is true, why it happens?
Well, you know, the people who build these buildings, they may be arrogant, and their arrogance may have risen as a result of the position that they've risen to. But basically, the underlying cause of all this is cheap credit, low interest rates, artificially low interest rates from the central bank or our Federal Reserve. And those low interest rates, in the short run, cause people to, you know, invest more, invest in long-term projects, invest in big, spectacular projects, because, you know, the credit is cheap. They're making profits. Everybody seems to be doing well. And so the Fed can create a rosy economic scenario in the short run, but what it's really doing is causing people to make the wrong investments in the economy, to go beyond what would otherwise be economically rational. And so the number one signal, the number one price in any economy is the interest rate. And when the Fed cooks the books and reduces that interest rate for economic, political, or whatever reason they do it for, if they do it too long and too far, ultimately they're going to create mal investments or bad investments like record-setting skyscrapers, which otherwise would never have been built.
So it's interesting. It's not necessarily because it's an example of hubris, or it's certainly not the cause of the economic trouble. It's a symptom of something.
It's of somebody else's hubris. The central banks.
That's interesting.
Dr. Mark Thornton is going to continue with us here in just a second. The skyscraper curse. Now let's look at where we are today, and how does this play a role, and what does it say for our future? We'll do that in 1 minute. First, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is X-Chair. X-Chair, easy way for you to keep your resolution on taking care of yourself. If you're going to lose weight or you're going to get in shape or whatever, you're talking about taking care of yourself. You spend more time in your chair than you do in bed at night. If you're working an eight-hour day, you are sitting in your chair. It better be comfortable. X-Chair is a great, comfortable chair, and they're now launching the X-Chair Basic, which is really affordable. I want you to check out the X-Chair Basic. Check out the entire family of X-Chairs.
The X-Chair Basic is a great idea for if you have a home office and you're working at home a lot. It's a great idea for that, because then you can kind of get all the comfort of the X-Chair. You don't get every single feature, but it costs so much less. It's perfect if you happen to be someone who works at home, which so many people do now. I mean, it really is such a growing part of the economy.
Have you ever sat in a chair that has more bells and whistles on it?
No.
Yeah, neither have I.
No.
Neither have I. And if you want all the bells and whistles, they're there in the X chair. If you don't need all the bells and whistles and you just want a great, comfortable chair, it's the X chair basic. Do it now, 844-4X-CHAIR, 844-4X-CHAIR, or you can find them at the letter X chairbeck.com. Comes with a 30-day, no-questions-asked guarantee of complete satisfaction. They're like $100 off. Plus, if you use the promo code BECK, you get a free footrest as well. It is xchairbeck.com. 10 seconds, station ID. So the author of The Skyscraper Curse, Dr. Mark Thornton, is on with us on the Glenn Beck program. And you say that the skyscraper curse is real because of low interest rates that the Fed has kind of cooked the books on. We are now coming out of a place with the lowest interest rates for the longest period of time in the history of our country and maybe the history of the world. What does that say on what's coming?
Well, Glenn, it's scary. to me. As you said, this is an unprecedented financial environment that we've just left, and of zero interest rates. Never happened in human history, and that's the background. Well, that's the background for all corporations who, you know, what their financial structure is dependent upon an environment of low interest rates. And so as we leave this environment of ultra-low interest rates, you can expect a lot of those bad investments, which we can't necessarily pinpoint right now, but as we go forward, a lot of those investments that people have been making in real estate, in technology, in social media, a lot of that is going to be revealed. And I think we're starting to see this in the business news, where profit expectations haven't been met, revenue expectations haven't been met, cost of production have risen unexpectedly for a lot of firms. And so when your revenues are coming down, your accounts receivable are backing up, and your cost of production are rising, the profits disappear and the losses start to reveal themselves. And then, of course, you have companies that are going to have to react to that with restructuring, with bankruptcy, with foreclosures. And I think this is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just the U.S., the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, of course, is still at it, really. They haven't yet started retrenching. And central banks around the world have had to match those policies to protect their currencies, or at least to balance their currencies. And so this is not just a U.S. phenomenon. It's a U.S.-led phenomenon, but it's going to impact the entire world. The people in the know realize that there's corporations all around the globe, particularly in the U.S., in Europe, in Japan, in China, which are very, very vulnerable. And we can expect over the next 2 years for this crisis really to take hold. I think we're just seeing the leading edges of it right now. And, you know,
if this is a storm that's headed our way, put it in a category, 1 through 5.
I would say it's a category 6. You know, the silver lining here is that this is going to be a very bad economic crisis, in my opinion. I think the empirical information is following that opinion. And the silver lining is that we may have an opportunity to get the world back on a gold standard or some other more sound monetary system.
They will tell you, Mark, I have talked to people in, you know, banking and very high up in economics, and they all believe the same crap that they all learned in the same schools. But they'll tell you that there's no way the world can afford the lifestyle that we have with the gold standard. That's why we got off it. We had to buy more stuff. We wanted more stuff. We wanted a great society. We wanted welfare. We wanted 2 cars. We wanted all that. We can't do it with gold standard. What do you say to that?
Well, we can do it with the gold standard. The gold standard is what the world, you know, we left the world of animals and, you know, wandering around, and we discovered sound money, silver coins, and Western civilization began to take hold a few thousand years ago. So this is a brief time, and we need to learn the lesson that sound money, which is independent of any political wishes, is the way to go. And I think we can see our way back in the coming crisis. So we can get rid of welfare. We can get rid of Social Security. We can get back on a monetary system that's sound and stable. And I think we have a great opportunity here in this economic crisis that's coming forth to return the world to more human-directed purpose rather than political purpose.
When you say Category 6, what category would you put the Great Depression in?
I would say that's a 5.
Hold on. You would say the Great Depression was a Category 5, and what is coming is a Category 6.
That's correct. And, you know, one of the reasons the Great Depression became great is that FDR and even Herbert Hoover tried to solve it politically. They tried to spend their way out. They tried to inflate their way out. They wanted to, you know, create all sorts of government jobs, which is the wrong thing to do. If you allow the free market to resolve an economic crisis, you can make it much shorter and much safer for people. And I think that we can reduce that Category 6 rating on this coming storm greatly if we were to be able to pursue a more traditional policy.
But, I mean, when you had, we had Wilson that scared the hell out of people, followed by Harding and Coolidge, and their recession, which was far steeper than 1929, and the great, what led to the Great Depression. They solved that. That was over in like 18 months, but they stopped spending. You're in a situation now where the world thinks that socialism is the great answer. I mean, you're not really looking at a country that will say, you know what, we should all tighten our belts and we're in this together and let's all suffer together. We're going to do the opposite, don't you think?
I'm afraid we might, but I think that there is a way out. Harding set the standard. He required a balanced budget in a depression. He required that interest rates be increased rather than cut. And so the historical record is on our side.
Yeah.
The free market economics works.
Yes.
And the socialism that we employed in the New Deal did not work. The socialism in the Japanese bust in 1989 has not worked.
Yeah.
In almost three decades of pain over there and frustration. But the Keynesian doctrine has not worked. It's only made things worse. It's made economic crises
last
a lot longer.
So let me ask you this one last question. We've got only about a minute, and I could go on for a long time with you. You say that when these buildings are, the ribbon is cut, it's underway. Is there a building we're looking at now in the skyscraper curse that when this happens, you think that's the time?
Yes, there is, Glenn. They're building a record-setting skyscraper in Saudi Arabia out in the middle of the desert. It's planned to be a kilometer tall.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to set the record, the world record. And the only reason it hasn't set the world record already, it was scheduled to break the world record in November of 2018, and it wouldn't be complete. But only the corruption scandal in Saudi Arabia brought that project into a delay mode about a year ago. So it would have already set the record.
It's any time. You're looking at any time you think this could go.
I think it began in November of last year.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. A fascinating book. You should read it. Really good, solid research. It's called The Skyscraper Curse. The Skyscraper Curse by Dr. Mark Thornton from the Von Mises Institute. Back in a second with the facts on the border.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I don't know about you, but that kind of is a little sobering.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
If the Great Depression was a 5,
yeah,
and we have a Category 6 that he says has already started, you might want to think about what do you do with your money. Cryptocurrency, I do not believe you should pour a bunch of money into this. I do believe everybody should have at least $100 in it. But most importantly, you need to educate yourself on Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, how it works, what blockchain is. And that's why we have a course that has been made specifically for you. It's smartcryptocourse.com. You can get involved by calling 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, or just go to smartcryptocourse.com and get all the information. Take this course and open your mind to a new world. smartcryptocourse.com.
He's a former Border Patrol chief, a career FBI official, and he served in the Marine Corps. Mark Morgan is going to tell us what's really going on in the border next.
So I'm tired of the he said, she said. I want somebody who's actually done the work. I want somebody who is not politically motivated. And in fact, if I can find somebody who's politically motivated, perhaps even in the other way, it wouldn't be bad if I could just get the facts. Mark Morgan is a career FBI official. He served as Border Patrol chief for the last 6 months of the Obama administration. He was ousted by President Trump at the beginning of his presidency. Prior to that, he was the assistant commissioner to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection and a police officer at LAPD. He served as a he served in the Marine Corps for 11 years. And I just want the facts on what's really happening on the border. I don't want political spin. Welcome to the program, Mark Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
You bet. Can you run down and fact check some of the things that have been said about the border? And can you tell the American people what's really happening? What are we facing?
Yes, I can. And Glenn, I tell you, if as American people are listening, I mean, what you said in your opening is your introduction, which I appreciated, is exactly why I have broke my silence after all this time. As time went by, at first I wanted to give people deference that, hey, they were just misinformed or because they were viewing facts through their own individual political ideological lens that they were unintentionally, you know, misinforming people. But as time went by, you know, I don't say this with happiness, but I feel that there's actually some intent behind the distortion of the facts and what's out there.
Sure.
And that's why I broke my silence.
Okay.
And so I'll give you one example. If anyone says that the wall is ineffective, that they're simply misleading the American people. There are facts, historical data that shows that the wall, as part of a multi-layered approach of infrastructure, technology, and personnel, when those things coalesce together and they're provided effectively along the southwest border, Glenn, it works. And go to the facts. You know, there was an article that was just published by the Yuma County Sheriffs in Arizona that said when the wall, along with technology and personnel, came to his territory, he saw over a 90% reduction in immigration, and he saw overall crime in his territory reduced drastically. That is a fact. That's not made up. In the United States Border Patrol, when I go there, again, I was there. I don't understand why pundits are not listening to the experts. Look, you know, the president of the Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd, and the current White House, you know, they didn't want me there and they removed me. And I'm here today, as you said, to say that they're right. And the reason why they're right is because they've got decades and decades and they've dedicated their entire life along the southwest border protecting our country. And they're out there saying that the wall works. He talked about Nogales, San Diego. We could go on and on forever where it is fact, Glenn. It's not political ideology. It's not twisting. That's the fact.
So yesterday the spin was from Nancy Pelosi. Well, they're just going to tunnel under the wall.
Yeah, Glenn, I tell you, I'm trying not to throw myself in the political arena. I think it's almost impossible to talk about that issue without it being infused in politics. But that is a ridiculous statement. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Why?
So it twists the facts. Are tunnels used? Yes. Have tunnels been used? Are they successful? Yes. But Glenn, that is a minute problem. That is a small problem of the overall problem. And I can tell you that the Customs and Border Protection, specifically CBP, they're working every day to improve their ground sensor technology and tunnel technology, working with the Israel, et cetera, to improve that technology. So that the argument is disingenuous. So because the bad guys changed their tactics, techniques, and procedures, therefore we should do away with other infrastructure that helps reduce the other techniques they use? I mean, you see, it doesn't make any sense.
Can you help me with, because I think this is a humanitarian crisis, because we are sending mixed signals all the time. People are sending their children over. The sex trade is just outrageous. The rape on women, you have a 30% chance if you're a woman, you're going with a mule, 30% chance of being raped. Can you describe how a wall is actually the humanitarian thing to do? Do you have any facts to... Go ahead.
Yes. And again, Glenn, you're 100% right. Everything that you just said, you're 100% right. And that's based on my experience, in fact, and the experience of a whole heck of a lot of other people who have been doing this a lot longer than I have. Because remember, as the FBI, I was in charge of the El Paso division. You know, from my office, I could see Juarez. So I lived it for 2 years and worked it for 2 years there right on the border. And I'm telling you, when I became chief of the Border Patrol, almost immediately, and this is back in 2016, almost immediately, you know what word I was using? Humanitarian crisis. And that was back in 2016. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2014 is when the onslaught of family units and then involved to the unaccompanied minors started. This is not a crisis that just happened today. It's a crisis that's been going on for a long time, and it is a dual-hatted. It's a national security and humanitarian crisis. And here's where the wall helps. So look, again, it's and no one is, and this is where it's disingenuous too, when people want to try as a soundbite, say, well, the wall won't solve everything. That's absolutely correct. But guess what? No one has ever said that. There's not a single Border Patrol agent in the history of the Border Patrol or any leader within that agency that has ever said the wall works. But it is a significant part of the multi-layered approach. And here's where it will help everything that you just talked about. By building that wall, the infrastructure, technology, and personnel, what it's going to do is take away the avenue from the cartels and from the coyotes. They will no longer have the avenues to what I really think is a systematic abuse and torture of the people that they're bringing through this
crack. I agree. Right?
And especially what you just said. And this is what I don't understand, the pundits, political side. Glenn, I don't understand. It's just what you said. These are young girls that are being smuggled as part of the human smuggling effort, and they're being forced into sex trade and et cetera. It's horrendous. And to think that we would not support everything that the expert says we need to mitigate that and have a positive impact on that, I don't understand. You build that wall, you have the technology, you have the personnel, it takes away that avenue from the cartels and the coyotes. And now the only way that somebody can get in is through the points of entry. And that gives us a heck of a lot better shot.
Talk to Mark Morgan, former Border Patrol chief, was with the FBI for a long time, U.S. Marine Corps. So with the wall, this is something that a lot of people will bring up, Mark, is, you know, as you pointed out, tunnels could theoretically go under it. People could saw through it. They could climb over it. There are ways to get past walls. But the theory is, number one, you're going to get rid of the low-hanging fruit, right? People who don't want to do that. Two, you're going to delay anyone who's trying to attempt that so that Border Patrol can get there. And isn't it as well a sign, like when you're in a country and you see pictures of the wall on television, there's a lot of people that'll be dissuaded just from knowing that the wall exists. Are those things accurate?
Again, Glenn, you know, you've done your homework and you've talked to a lot of people. Everything you just said is right. It's a deterrence. It's a delay. It affords the United States Border Patrol to use other operational tactics to secure the border. And let me mention something about the tunnel again, because, again, it's just an outrageous comment. So because there may be other methods to get around it, you don't want to build it. Again, it makes no sense. That defies common sense. And I know the American people are smarter than that. But let's talk about a tunnel just for example. It is used, but it's few, because you can imagine it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort to build a tunnel. That's just not something that happens all the time and is easily done. It's very limited, happens very little in the grand scheme of things. And so, again, the argument is just ridiculous. It's like, so, you know, because my neighbor's house has been broken into a few times, you know what? What's the point of getting my security system, right? I mean, because they could still get in. Again, it just doesn't make sense, Glenn.
Mark, I urge you to keep politics out of this. You are a powerful spokesperson because you worked in the last 6 months of the Obama administration, and then Trump ousted you at the beginning of his presidency. And so you have credibility. You're not a you know, you I don't know if you're a Trump supporter or not a Trump supporter. I don't want to know. But I know that you worked for Obama, ousted by Trump, and you have the facts. Please keep politics out of this, because you will you can open people's eyes and minds, because you don't. If you had an axe to grind, you might be grinding it the opposite way. So thank you for that. And thank you for being willing to take the slings and the arrows for standing up. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm just saying thank you. I sincerely appreciate you giving me the forum, because that's exactly right. And again, that's why I broke my silence, because I don't have a there's nothing political. I just want to provide the American people exactly what you started off with, just the facts. Let's talk truth, honesty, and the facts. And I have to believe that if enough people get out there and they tell the facts, the American people will get it and understand it, and we can do the right thing for our country.
Are you up on the facts enough to tell the truth about the illegal immigrant child that died right around Christmas, that especially Ocasio-Cortez has been saying that, you know, the border guard is so bad and so wicked that, you know, in their custody, this child died. Are you familiar enough with that to be able to tell the story?
I am enough, because I think there's also some historical context that's important, too. And again, it's hard to talk about this issue because it's so emotional and so politically charged without talking about comments like that. But here's what I would say, Glenn. Is that on either side of the aisle, it doesn't matter. But when somebody that we elected to go to represent us says such divisive things, to accuse men and women that get up every morning and pin on the badge and risk their lives. And I said last night on Tucker, you know, the United States Border Patrol agents, 127 of them have given their lives on the front lines of this country protecting. And that's not manufactured, Glenn. That's real. That's real. That's not a manufactured stat. That's not a manufactured crisis. And I can tell you, if you don't mind, so when I was chief, I remember going to the Border Patrol, and the chief patrol agent, Manning PD, and I were headed towards the border. It was like midnight, because a whole group of unaccompanied minors had gotten there. And I wanted to see that firsthand. And I told him, hey, don't let the troops know that I'm there. So we walked up, and we see this large group of unaccompanied minors. And there's this little boy that looked to be about 9, and he's holding the hand of what I believe to be his sister, which was about 6 or 7. But what I saw, and they were terrified, right? There's this 9 little boy and this girl terrified, holding each other's hands. But what I saw was the United States Border Patrol agent knelt down in the dirt, and he's talking to them in Spanish, and he's talking to them with, I mean, I'm getting choked up right now, because he was talking to them with the utmost dignity, respect, and compassion. He had no idea the chief was there. And I looked at that, and I looked at Manny Padilla, and I said, wow. And he's talking to this little girl and boy like they were his own.
Yeah. I've seen it myself, Mark. I'm out of time, but I've seen it myself. Thank you so much, and we'd like to talk to you again. Mark Morgan, former Border Patrol chief, on the facts. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is realestateagentsitrust.com.
It's amazing, too, when you go through purchasing a house, what a big difference it is to find the best real estate agent. I've gone through like out of state sales before, and you have no idea what's going on with your house if you don't have the right person. You have to have someone who's on top of it all the time, giving you updates, someone who basically obsesses about the house as much as you do.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times real estate agents say, well, I'm also a real estate agent on the side. Okay, No. You want somebody who is dedicated to your house full time, somebody with a marketing plan, somebody that you can trust, somebody that knows the area that is either you're buying in or you're selling in, and it's going to give you the best price either way. I want you to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Get moving right now. realestateagentsitrust.com. I don't know why it's fascinating to us, but I think we have to talk about the Jeff Bezos divorce coming up. He is going from the richest man in the world to the 5th richest man in the world, and his wife will be the
tied for fifth
richest person in the world. And it's getting kind of messy. We'll talk about that. Also, Kevin Hart, I want to just touch bases. I love the fact that they're just eating their own right now.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting to watch. It's like a National Geographic film.
And have you ever licked a doorbell? We'll get into that coming up in just a second.
Another sad piece of news,
oh,
Glenn.
Okay.
The U.S. carbon emissions are out for 2018.
Yeah.
And they have surged, meaning we are closer and closer to the apocalypse.
Wait a minute. Didn't we just close down all the coal plants and everything?
Yes, a ton of coal plants, actually.
And it's up?
And it's up, which is terrifying. And then the reason, I think, is the worst part of all, because it's, you know, carbon emissions have been falling in the United States for quite a while, mm-hmm. Despite the fact that we haven't signed on any international treaties about mm-hmm. it, because we've been switching from coal plants to natural gas.
Yeah.
And not for environmental reasons, just because it's worked out better for us.
Why are we going up?
Well, it's the worst reason of all. Carbon dioxide emissions rose by 3.4% because the economy was so good. And it overwhelmed the coal plants closing.
Wall Street, we're right.
Yeah.
If we could just go back to, you know, an agrarian kind of society, mm-hmm. we would be able to pull our plows with our horses, not cows, our horses, and we'd be hungry, and many of us would starve to death and die of disease.
Mm-hmm,
but,
sure.
Hey.
We're the virus, so might as well. Patriot Mobile's awesome, man. We've been with them for a while, and they have great service, and you get great phones, and you get all the things you'd expect from a top-notch cell phone company, except for the donations to all the causes you don't agree with. Because left-wing organizations get tons of money from big cell phone companies, and it's your money. So why give it to them when you can give it to Patriot Mobile for the same service? And they're going to donate to conservative causes that you actually believe in.
What's crazy, and you get to select them, what's crazy is you spend your whole day working and preaching against these things, and while you're on the phone, you're paying Planned Parenthood. That's nuts.
Yeah, if you don't believe in it, you probably shouldn't be giving your money to them.
Yeah.
So that's why Patriot Mobile exists. Patriot Mobile is a fantastic company, and go check them out. PatriotMobile.com/Blaze is the place to go. PatriotMobile.com/Blaze, or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Three countries in the news. France, Great Britain, China. I can see France, I can see Britain, I can see China's underpants or something like that. China has just come up with a new mega drone, which Andrew Heaton doesn't understand at all, and I think I'm with him. But we begin with what's happening this weekend in France and what it may mean to you by Monday. We go there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, we cleared a lot of the commercials out of the first half, and we only stopped for 2 minutes, 1 minute a time in this first half hour. So we're with you, and we just give you a live commercial here. And here's the first one. It's Relief Factor. And Relief Factor is something that we really, really believe in. There's a lot of people who are on Relief Factor here in the studio. And I started a year ago, Christmas, and I take it 3 times a day, and I've seen an enormous difference. I mean, life-changing difference in my pain level. I've got, you've got them too. Everybody's got their complaints. And I just couldn't live it anymore. I just couldn't do it a year ago. Started taking Relief Factor. My wife said, just try it. It's all, you know, natural. And so I'm like, that's not going to work. It actually did for me. And for 70% of the people who try the quick start, which is a 3-week trial, 70% of those people go on to order more, just like I did, because it works. Try it. Get your life back. It's relieffactor.com. Go to relieffactor.com.
Something
Things Off with Andrew Heaton is the name of the podcast that you can hear daily with Andrew Heaton, and he joins us now.
Hello, thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, yeah, good to have you back. How was your holiday?
It was great. I went to Oklahoma for Christmas, mm-hmm, and I went camping in eastern Texas, mm-hmm, and I went up to New York to visit friends, so I had a great time.
Holy cow.
It was all over the board.
How was the change from like Oklahoma to New York?
You know, okay, so I lived in New York for 6 years, and I think it's kind of like if you've been stuck in a car with someone for like 3 or 4 weeks, you have no patience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's how I was when I left New York. Mm-hmm. Coming back, though, I had rebuilt all of that deep breathing, and
yeah,
I was able to handle it.
It's fine. It's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
You just don't want to be trapped, live there.
I think you can live there if you are very young, or very hot, or very rich, and I am smoking hot. But I don't have enough money to make it work long term. So that's.
Can
that's
I the, tell you something? When I was living there, I was very rich, and no. It makes it better, mm-hmm, but it still sucks.
Yeah. But do you need all three of those things? Because Glenn was rich, but certainly not young,
and certainly not hot.
And you obviously are very hot.
Yeah,
but you're not necessarily rich or young.
And I'm no longer. I'm 35 as of yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
A quarter of my life is over now.
Yeah,
and
you know, think you're gonna.
I'm very optimistic.
Yeah,
still. I'm not good at math, but I'm thinking like 120.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's my thought.
All right. Yeah, you're not good at math. One of these days, you're going to find somebody to share your life with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on that. I think
this is the year.
This could be the year.
This could be the year.
I'll get two or three wives.
What are you looking
I really like playful, goofy ladies. Because I kind of want to joke around, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal. I like open-minded people. Uh-huh. Who are tolerant. I don't really like fighting. I'm not combative. And I have a lot of really weird friends. So whoever I wind up with has to be fairly porous to other ideas coming in.
Sure.
Eclectic.
That's
you fit in with us.
Yeah. I think I fit in here very well.
Yeah. And we're pretty eclectic.
That is an understatement, Glenn. I think eclectic is, yes, that is the minimum FDA regulation term that we have to use for this motley crew.
What would you say the actual term is? If eclectic is the minimum.
I mean, I don't know psychology that well, Glenn.
I'm sure there's some kind of term for it. All right. Let's start with France.
Okay.
France having riots. You're mm-hmm. familiar with right. the Yellow Vest riots.
That is their national pastime. So yes.
This was pretty serious. The 70% approval rating with these riots, and they just changed yesterday. About this time, they announced that.
The 70% of the French population likes the riots.
Yeah, they side with the.
I thought the riots were like the top political thing.
They side with the. The people who are rioting.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
So the leadership came out and said, this weekend, we want to try something new because we want direct democracy, which, as a historian yourself,
works out super well every time.
It's
if you want to be a Greek city state for 80 years, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say outside of those, doesn't work real well.
Really? So they want to direct democracy. They want to make up their own laws. And they're going to try to collapse the euro beginning this weekend.
Real quick, that could work because one of the problems of direct democracy is ultimately the people with the most free time run the country. Because if you have a job, you don't have time to go online and write laws. But everyone in France only works 3 months a year. So they might actually be able to make that work. That's
right.
Possible for
okay.
them.
All right. So they're telling people go in, take your euros out of your bank account and put it into cryptocurrency. They're saying that they like you to take everything out, but just take at least 20% out. If that happened, if you got 70% of France to take 20% of their money out and cash it out of euros, you could have a economic disaster on your hands all across Europe.
Are they trying to create a run on the bank? Are they trying?
Yes.
And that's hopefully going to lead to the
Correct.
Collapse of the euro.
Correct.
So I would be amazed.
Ambitious,
if
I would
France
say.
France became the champion of cryptocurrency and brought down the euro. That is not a prediction I had for 2019.
It's Mr. Robot Season 3. It happens, though.
Yeah.
We'll look for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
I've got a plan for what France should do. Because when last I was reading about this with any great degree, at the time, I don't know if they've dealt with this, but at the time, the police were threatening to join the protesters. And at that point, it's kind of game over. Because the only folks that are, you know, keeping marginal order in France are the police, because these have gone from protests to riot. There's a qualitative difference, right? So I thought, if I were Macron, what would I do? And I came up with a brilliant solution.
Okay.
As the government, you go on strike. That's right. You go, we're joining you. We agree. I, President Macron, I am going on strike. I am not going to work anymore. None of my cabinet's going to work anymore. We're with you. And then what happens? Who runs the country? And the answer to that is Germany. And I think that's ultimately what France needs to do, is right. outsource its leadership to Germany for a while.
Right, right. You know, I think if our government went on strike...
They've done that before. You know, they've outsourced their leadership to Germany before. It did not work out as well.
Third time's the charm.
Okay. You know, if our government went on strike, you know, if Trump and Pelosi and Schumer said, you know, we can't agree on anything, but we're going on strike, I think the American people would cheer.
Yes, I think that could be a fairly popular thing.
Yeah, I think everybody would be like, okay, good.
Like all of Washington goes to the Florida Keys, just a bunch of museums for a while. Right. That could be a lot of fun.
Right. I think that would be a very good thing.
There are real issues with the shutdown, though, because, you know, there are some serious things that are going on with it. Obviously, the people who are out of work, you have the people, you know, like these big parks close, and there's businesses nearby that are, you know, based on the traffic that goes there. You have a flood insurance coming up for renewal. There's also food stamps. But I think the thing that might turn people around on this is, no longer can craft breweries get their labels approved by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which apparently they have to do. So no new varieties of craft beer coming into play. I think that could actually cause enough pressure to shut down the whole debate.
This is how long I've been an alcoholic. I first thought, when did Kraft, the macaroni and cheese people, start making beer?
Oh, man. Macaroni beer. Yeah. That sounds like a very popular, horrible idea for about 6 weeks. Yeah. Of like, oh, no, Wisconsin, we love beer, we love cheese, so macaroni beer.
It's three cheese beer.
The more you talk about it, the more intrigued I am.
Now I want it.
Okay, just savory saying. Beer, that could be like kind of a good Viking thing.
I mean,
thing.
They have beer cheese. Which is delicious.
It's true. Yeah. Okay.
This could be a thing. We may have just created a giant.
Somebody at Kraft is going, we are getting out of the macaroni and cheese business.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So if, I mean, because this is a serious thing with our economy, China's economy, if Europe would collapse, you know, I'm doing this seriously with some of the war gamers that we talk to. Who are the allies and who are the Axis powers? I mean, if Europe would go into chaos, is there anyone within the sound of my voice that bets against Germany?
No. Germany kept an independent bank, too. Like, for years now, I mean, like, it's since the invention of the euro, we're like, we are just going to keep our bank just in case, in case something happens with the euro. So, like, they can, like, tomorrow, they're good to go. And also their economy. I mean, like, it was like I used to live in the UK, and there's still a little bit of anti-German resentment. And some of the older folks are like, I thought we defeated these people and they've taken over because their economy is so good.
Their economy is good unless France and Italy and Spain and everybody else goes down. Their economy is what, 50 or 80% export to the euro zone.
Okay. Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
If that goes down, Germans are in trouble.
Would it necessarily follow that if the currency implodes, that the trade zone would as well? So I think they could. I don't think they'd have
the
to do
euro.
That.
No, they wouldn't have to. But the euro, as we would know it, would be over. That would just be. That's what they promised.
It would make
they
trading
promised,
more difficult for sure because you'd have to.
Yeah, I mean, they would all trade with each other, but the promise of the European Union is over. It's peace and prosperity. That's what they guaranteed. Well, I don't have either. So what are we doing in this?
Do we have an idea of how serious these things are when it comes to these protests? Because I think, like, you get that sense that, like, this happened many times with, like, Anonymous, and they would be like, in 4 hours, we're going to destroy Mark Zuckerberg's toilet. And you're like, and then it never happens. They and threaten Mark's- things all the time. He's still going potty in his toilet. Yeah. It's still working.
Right.
Do we know, like, is there, I mean, we're going to pull out 20% of our money and put it in Bitcoin to collapse the euro. Is that a legitimately threatening thing?
They have 70% approval rating.
That's kind of the scary part, right?
Yeah. So if, let's just say, Occupy Wall Street or Antifa had 70% of the country behind them, and then you had in that 70%, you had another 70-80% that was like, yeah, I don't have anything else better to do, but just do whatever they say this weekend. If 70% of that 70% would go in and take 20% of their money out of the bank, that would be very harmful. They would, the French government.
Right, but that's an impossible ask, right?
That's asking all the people to put their money where their mouth is, which is usually a division in polling.
Yeah.
Between like, hey, do you want more stuff? Yeah. Do you want higher taxes? No. Okay. Well, those are
right.
Irreconcilable.
Yeah.
But like you're poll people.
Yeah. When you're talking about collapsing the euro and collapsing the financial system, you know, I think there's just more people that are like, wait a minute. I'm not sure. Because that affects my paycheck, right?
Right.
How do I cash football games?
Yeah.
That could affect wine.
Right.
I do. It wouldn't surprise me if it brought down the Republic. Because we're on Republic 5.0, right? Like the last one, De Gaulle's the last one that started up, but they reboot a lot more frequently than we do. They're like an old computer.
Yeah, and it's not just France. Remember, the yellow jacket thing has spread all over Europe, including England. So if you had a good portion of people, I don't think it's going to happen, but if you had a good portion of people do it this weekend, it could make a real run on the banks, and that's the last thing you want.
Yeah.
More with Andrew Heaton here in just a second and the rest of the broadcast. First, for 1 minute, let me just pause here and tell you about American Finance. American Finance is a place that I would go if you're looking for a loan, if you're looking to refinance. Right now is the time to refinance. If you have not refinanced yet and you have a floating, what do you call that? An adjustable rate.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of that adjustable rate because it is going to go up.
They've been talking about raising the rates for a while. Part of the reason. Yeah, they've raised them already, and they're going to raise them more, although they're getting nervous because of the economic problems. Both of these are good reasons to make sure you lock in a good rate now.
Yeah, you really want to be on stable ground. And the people that will do it are the people who do not make a commission on what they're selling. See, that's what the difference is. When you go to a bank, you speak to a loan officer, and the loan officer is going to decide whether or not they're going to give you this loan. No. You're talking to a salesperson who is selling you a loan. That's the difference. And once you understand that, you want somebody who is not making commissions on the sale. You want somebody who is in your corner and trying to find the right thing, and that is American Financing. Go to AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or call them at 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
10 seconds, station ID. You know, I think if you're looking at Europe, everybody would bet on the Germans, right? The Germans and the Italians. You want to get them together only for dinner.
Yeah.
You tell the Germans, you bring the dessert. You tell the Italians, you bring the main course, and you're good. That's the only time you want to put those two peoples together.
The best idea is to keep them in different rooms while they're eating so they don't talk.
Yes. There should be no marriages or anything. No.
If you're worried about World War II, I feel like Germany did the heavy lifting in World War II. I'm not as worried about Italy.
Well, Italy on their own, sure. Italy's not going to be able to.
I've been there a couple times. I love Italy. It's a wonderful country. The people are friendly. The people are beautiful. That said, though, I feel like watches are purely fashion statements in Italy.
Oh,
I took a train from, it was the German part of Switzerland. I took it down from wherever I was, Interlaken, to Milan. And as I'm on the train, the announcer comes on and goes, "Passengers, we apologize. The train will arrive 8 minutes ahead of schedule." And I was like, what? Why are you? And then conversely, when I got on the train from Milan to Venice, We stopped for 2.5 hours, and I
no apology.
No. I finally and they'd oversold the tickets, so I'm just standing in a vestibule, and I grabbed a conductor, and I was like, "I'm sorry to bother you. What's going on?" And he goes, "Oh, I can't do a good accent," but he goes, "I'm sorry, the train made a wrong turn." And I was like, "It's a train. It's on a. I could steer the train. I could absolutely.
I didn't
steer
know there was
thing.
A steering yeah, wheel you, in the
how
train.
How did you mess this up?" That was where I was like, "Yeah, I'm not worried about you guys. You guys can do whatever you need to."
So, I mean, you would if you look at all of them, like you know, the British are just, you know, France, no, Spain, maybe is somebody that you have to worry about. Ireland, no. Scotland seems like, you know, they're, you know, the reason why they throw those posts.
Oh yeah, the timber crossing.
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
So they say, hey, we're gonna put our toughest guys in a humiliating skirt and make them throw a tree. And they did that because England wouldn't allow them to have any swords or any weapons of any kind. So they're like, all right, well, we can't train with weapons, so. Hey, knock the branches off that tree. See how far you can put, throw it. Honestly, that's wow. How they kept, you know, trained. They seem like a fierce opponent, but they really, you know, ever since Braveheart, really not.
I think they're plucky opponents, but they have warm hearts deep down. That's what, one of the things I love about Scotland when I visit it, because I lived there for a couple of years and I go back every year.
You Scottish?
Yeah, ethnically, yeah. I'm English, Scottish, and a little bit of German.
Mm-hmm.
On my dad's side of the family, we're McGills, which means son of a stranger. So bastard. I don't know why we didn't keep that name. The McBastard family sounds a lot more fierce than McGill.
It's down to the McBastards. Yeah,
which castle are you going to attack? Terwilliger Castle or McBastard Castle?
Oh, you're not going
Fortress
here.
McBastard sounds like it'd be kind of, that'd be a tough weekend. I'm going to go after Castle McGillicuddy. I used to live over there. What's fun about Scots is that they're very friendly, but they seem homicidal. So you'll walk up on the street and go, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, I'm great. How are you?" "I'm fine. I think you should meet some of my mates. Come with me." And you're like, "This is where I die. I'm going to get stabbed in an alley." And then you go in and it's like, "All right, this guy's from America. We're going to buy him pints." And then you do, and you've got a bunch of best friends. It's great. And then the saying in Glasgow, I didn't live in Glasgow, but in Glasgow, the saying is that it's so friendly, they'll stab you, and then they'll drive you to the hospital. So it's like it's simultaneously violent but cool.
I know somebody who grew up in Scotland, and he said, we weren't really even afraid of the police. He said the police would come. He was a rough and tumble kind of guy. And he said, we were in, you know, some bad parts of Scotland where you don't really want to be. And he said, we'd be in fights and stuff, and the police would show up, and we'd just all turn around. We'd stop fighting and all turn around and go, back up. Because they don't have any guns or anything. And they're like, what are you going to do? Back up.
I think I would be somewhat careful. But the other thing, too, though, is that, remember, all parties in this equation are drunk. So the cops might well be on their third pint, which is perfectly acceptable at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so, like, you don't know, it's kind of a loose cannon. You got to be careful.
So what are you covering on today's podcast?
Today we're going to cover gridlock and the underlying reasons behind it. Yesterday was a really cool episode. Have you ever had Dale Brown on?
I think I have.
He runs a security firm out of Michigan. Like, he runs a private security firm, and he was fascinating to talk to because he runs a, like, kind of, there's kind of like a chunk for everybody in this one, because if you're libertarian, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna have my own private security force. But he doesn't use guns because he finds that they accelerate violence and things. So, like, if you're okay, you're a little bit more wary. He was cool to talk to. And then tomorrow we're planning to have on Jonathan Haidt. Which I'm really looking forward to. I think that'll be a fun chat.
Have you ever talked to him before?
I've met him a few times. I've not interviewed him.
Yeah,
but his books made a big impact on me.
Yeah, me too. He is he's a fascinating guy, especially when you start at the beginning where he kind of thought he was the typical progressive liberal, and then went, oh, no, not so much. I mean, still, we're not in the same, you know, we're in the same neighborhood. You know, we can live in the same neighborhood with each other, but, you know, not in the same necessarily house, if you will, politically speaking, but he's a fascinating guy.
I think he probably votes Democrat, but I think the big distinction
in New
is,
York.
Yeah, he lives in New York.
Yeah.
But the having talked to him, having read his book, he doesn't view political deviation as a form of heresy.
Yes, which is really important. I think he has a way out. That's on the podcast. That's tomorrow's Andrew Heaton. Something's off with Andrew Heaton.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about LifeLock. You know, we've been looking into technology things here for some upcoming shows. Technology is just the greatest thing and the worst at the same time.
It is. The best commercial for LifeLock is just life continuing, because as it continues, you realize how important it is to have this. Every day you look at the news, there's 10 more things that, you know, hackers and crazy people have thought up to get your stuff, to get your identity.
And even if, you know, even if you're a mom at home or a grandma at home and you're just posting cat videos and you think, oh, nobody's it. No. They're after your information. So get LifeLock now. They can't protect against all threats, but they're the best in the business. Use the promo code Beck and save 10% at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com/Beck. Promo code Beck. LifeLock.com.
So the U.S. hit a 25-year milestone. And unlike every other one of these, it's actually good news. We'll tell you what it is coming up.
So I'm reading about Jeff Bezos and his divorce from his wife, which is really sad. They've been together for how long?
25 years.
And they've had a great relationship, far as we know, on the, you know, on the outside. Had a great relationship. She's been there the whole time. Every time I've ever heard Jeff Bezos and his wife talk about marriage and things, now this is obviously years ago, they've always given the impression that they're real partners. And, you know, like I couldn't do what Tanya does. Tanya couldn't do what I do. Together, we can support each other and we make it together. And I don't know if it's like that with all marriages, but I've always gotten the impression with Bezos, it is like that.
Because she was around before Amazon. He was a millionaire. I believe it was 4 years after they got married.
Yeah.
He was first a millionaire. Remember, this guy is the richest man in the world. $147 billion of
net
worth.
You make a great case that she absolutely deserves half of everything.
Oh, yeah. I think absolutely. Certainly, you don't have a prenup in that situation. They both had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they came to the relationship without lots of assets, so they don't have a prenup. And, you know, you're talking $147
billion. Billion.
Billion.
He's the richest man in the world.
Mm-hmm. So she's going to be, you know, getting something like $73.5 billion, which is a lot to get.
Do you think you even fight over that? You're with somebody for 25 years. Do you think you even fight over that, or just say, here's half?
You know, you hope it's like that. They did release a very nice statement. You know, our relationship is changing, but we'll still be friends type of thing.
Yeah.
Which indicates maybe it's, you know, I mean, he's going to walk away with $73 billion. He's still in a decent spot. It's more than I have by a significant amount.
It's more than, how much, for instance, how much, let's compare him to somebody who has, you know, $50,000 worth of wealth. So, you know, you might make $50,000, but, you know, you've got, you know, between what you have invested in your house and your car, if it was paid off, and a 401k, then she got around 50 grand.
Yeah, which is decent. Right? Yeah. Like, you know, depending on what stage of life you're in, that's right. A lot more than many people have.
Let's take his $174 billion.
147, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is him going out and going, oh, that's $1 million? Yeah, give me four of those. How much is $1 million to Jeff Bezos compared to somebody who has $50,000?
So if you have $50,000, wow. So he's $147 billion. $1 million to him is the same as 34 cents to someone who has $50,000.
Oh my gosh.
34 cents.
Oh my gosh.
That's incredible.
So you literally could go in, because if you have $50,000 and 34 candy is 34 cents a piece, you right. Just go grab a handful. You might even put a bag full in there.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't care. Think of that.
Yeah. I mean, look,
he could go out and buy Bugattis, you know, like, yeah, give me one in every color and make a color up too.
Yeah. Come up with a device that will create a new color never before seen by the human
right.
eye. Yeah, I mean, think about this. We talk about someone with $50,000. Think about a normal, holy crap, that guy's rich person. Someone with $1 million, a millionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a millionaire, the difference between Jeff Bezos spending $1 million to a millionaire, that's like $6.80.
Oh, my
It's a value
gosh.
Meal, right? Like, it's an extra value meal. You wouldn't even think about it.
Oh, my gosh. So that goes back to, and again, you know, a best advice I ever got on money was somebody who said to me, how much is enough? Now, this is a guy, you know, who I think helped invent styrofoam. So he had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know. And he said, you have to decide because it will never be enough. If you're really successful, it will never be enough. And I remember saying to you when we first started out, you spend what you make.
Yeah.
It may seem like, oh, if I could just make $100,000, you're gonna be in exactly the same situation if you don't think about it
and
going
really
in.
Plan and be disciplined.
Right. Otherwise, you're going to make $100,000 and you're going to be like, I thought this was going to free my life up. No, you just bought more stuff.
Mm-hmm. The bills go up. The house gets a little bigger.
Correct.
You know, the car gets a little nicer, but still, you're still spending
the same
much.
If $1 million to Jeff Bezos is like $6 to a millionaire, doesn't it make it a little easier to go, yeah, she's been with me for 25 years, take half?
Especially that, right? Like, I mean, first of all, Jeff Bezos isn't like, you know, he's not exactly the Rock, right? Like, I mean, he's not like the sexiest man on earth. At any point, he will not be named that. So to be with someone, you know, like,
I don't know, a lot of people find the cologne with the smell of money.
Yes. No, that's
very, very hot.
And that's the thing. Like, here's someone who spent time with you for 25 years when you weren't a millionaire, mm-hmm. when you weren't rich, when you were just this kind of, you know, nerd, right? Like, you're a really smart guy mm-hmm. who might have a good future. And she sticks around for 25 years. They had 4 kids together.
It's really sad.
Yeah. So I feel like you're right. I think there's a chance that he's like, look, I can deal with $73 billion and she's great. Like, I don't think that's out of the question.
And it's going to the kids anyway.
It's going to wind up going to the kids anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
so they wind up going from the richest, if this happens, the richest person in the world to tied for the 5th richest people in the world.
And yet,
it's not bad.
And the empire is still going.
And it's still going. I mean,
now, let me ask you this. A guy that stable that has a marriage for 25 years, he was, I don't know if he was caught cheating, but he was cheating.
Yeah, that's the other part of this, which is really rough. I mean, 25 years, and then he's been in an 8-month affair with a television anchor who was married to like a super agent in Hollywood, like one of the biggest agents in Hollywood.
She was married too.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
This is ugly.
Yeah, this is going to be your TMZ programming for the next 2 years. But I think it's interesting just because. I mean, this is a unique guy who's probably, we were talking about this off the air, I think, that there's probably better positioned in the world of business than anyone in the world.
Think of this.
Not just the richest, but like,
positioned.
Yeah, Amazon and the Washington Post, right?
Yeah. Like, you are living in Washington, D.C. You've moved your headquarters to D.C. clearly because you want the political clout. You're going to be there making new laws. I mean, that's really the world that we live in today. It is, it's cronyism on, I can't even say steroids. I don't even know what kind of steroids this would be compared to. But so he is in with the government. One of his biggest clients is the Pentagon. He has a company that everybody pretty much trusts. It's not like Google. I mean,
it's not. Yeah,
you would put an Apple, you would put an Amazon, Echo into your house faster than Google.
Yeah, they do.
And even though Google is better, probably at that particular device.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it definitely seems like they have a less of a creepy vibe.
Correct.
than the Google.
So people are less creeped out by you, and yet they probably shouldn't because your fingers are in every single everything. He's got the Washington Post, so he's influencing media, who's better positioned?
I mean, I can't think of anybody. He is in an amazing position, and it's and he's not he hasn't hit the I'm Bill Gates, I'm going to give away all my money phase. Like, I'm sure that happens at some point. Now, he's giving away a giant chunk here, and I hope his relationship charity. Is worth it. Yeah,
yeah, that's really not charity. No. She must have been really good.
Apparently, something was fantastic about her. Maybe she's a great chef. I don't know. Perhaps that's it.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of money.
So now the question is, does this, if you were a big shareholder, I mean, somebody who really was invested in him, a guy going from a 25 years of stability. Now, maybe you know that he's really been a dog the whole time, but 25 years of stability now into a, I'm free. What do you think that does to Amazon? Would you think people are worried at all about, Jeff Bezos, he could say, we want to do SpaceX. We're going to Jupiter.
You don't want stability when it comes to instability when it comes to your money.
No, you really don't. No. You really don't. All right. I want to tell you about Goldline, who is our sponsor this half hour. We had a guy on last hour. If you missed this portion of the program, go back and listen to it. We had a guy who wrote the book on the skyscraper theory, which he's a von Mises economist. And he did the study of why does it seem like every time a giant skyscraper, a record-breaking skyscraper is opened, the world goes into economic chaos. And in the course of talking to him, I said, so what do you think is coming? Because his theory is rock solid. And I said, what do you think is coming? And he said, oh, a bad storm. And I said, give me a categories. What's a bad storm? He said category 6.
He almost said Sharknado, but he stopped before that.
Yeah. Category 6. I said, where would you put the Great Depression? Category 5. Oh. And he said in November, he thinks we're already in it now. It's this is the edge of the storm that we're in. May I suggest you go and listen to that interview and then, you know, pray on it, think on it, call for Goldline, get some information about gold or silver and find out if it's right for you. But I urge you. I haven't been like this since 2007 with you. I urge you. It is coming. Please do your homework now. I don't care if you buy it or don't buy it. Just do your homework. Go to goldline.com or call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Do your homework. Read the risk information. Find out if it's right for you, but batten down the hatches because it's coming. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Sometimes we don't recognize the good things in life, and we really should. There's a lot of great things. There's a new stat out about America and something that has gotten much, much better recently.
Yeah, over the last 25 years, we have now hit a 25-year milestone of a quarter century of consecutive decline in the cancer rate in the United States. A quarter century. And it's amazing.
And you would think that there's no way possible for that to happen because, oh, our food's giving us cancer. Right. Our medicine's giving us cancer. Our sky is giving us cancer.
Right. I mean, that is one thing to every time you see these health claims on Pinterest and, mm-hmm. you know, Instagram, mm-hmm. Think about this for a moment here. The rates are dropping so dramatically. If every new thing they introduce is giving us cancer, why does this continue to happen? I mean, it's so much of it is just such nonsense.
Well, we're getting better at detecting and curing it, though.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, too. And, you know, honestly, like still a lot of people die from cancer, 600,000 cancer deaths, which is
just in the U.S.
Just in 1 year. Wow. However, one of the reasons for that is, I know it sounds weird, but it's actually positive. Is that, yeah, I know, 600,000 people are dying. Celebrate! The reason is a lot of people are now living long enough and surviving other things that they're getting old enough that they're actually getting cancer. Like, they're surviving the periods where people used to get it in their 40s. Well, now they might get it in their 80s. But they're living through all the things that were threats before, getting all the way to their 80s, and then they're getting cancer and dying from cancer.
So it's good to you that the people who are 80 are dying. That's what I'm hearing.
More people, longer lives, better outcomes. Yes, it's good in a weird way.
Right, yeah.
It's like it's like the obesity thing, like obesity epidemic. Well, that's terrible. Well, we're kind of like, isn't it good that we're all kind of like choosing to die now? Like now we have to sit there and say, you know what? We get to get really, really fat, and we're going to eat lots of hamburgers and French fries, and then that's going to be the thing that kills us.
Yeah.
That's much better than starvation.
Did you see my tweet to Bernie Sanders yesterday?
No.
So Bernie Sanders said, let me see if I can find it real quick. Bernie Sanders tweeted something yesterday about how many people in America are starving, and that struck me as odd. How many people in America are starving? And so I posted, I can't find it, I posted, to Bernie, you should have spent some time with my mother, because she always taught me the difference between starving and hungry. My mother used to always say, you're not starving, you're hungry.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And Bernie, there's also a difference between what you need and what you want.
Yeah. I mean, look, the United States of America is one of the greatest success stories when it comes to fighting hunger in global history, if it's not the most.
Free market is in global history. There's never been. We're having a problem with obesity now. Mm.
See, the thing is, though, Bernie Sanders is old news. Elizabeth Warren is the new Bernie Sanders. And in competition, we have word today that it looks like Kamala Harris will be running for president. It's expected that she will be announcing on or around Martin Luther King Day. She needs to get out ahead of us.
Well, it's good thing that there won't be any race involved.
No. That definitely will not be an issue in this campaign.
Sure.
Which is interesting. I actually did a poll yesterday on Twitter, and I said, you know, I asked this to one of our guests yesterday. If you had to pick three draft picks out of this Democratic field, the potential Democratic field, who would you say are the biggest threats? Like, who are the ones that are the most likely to actually win the presidency? And it was interesting to see. There was a lot of... I thought it was a surprising amount of love for Joe Biden in that one.
Yeah, I would say it would be Joe Biden and Kamala Harris number two.
And Beto was another one that was up there as well.
I would put Beto three.
Those are the three that I had, I thought, because Biden is the only one in his category, right? He's he's got that long history. He can, I think, fight with Trump a little bit and maybe survive it. Mm-hmm. And he's also not seen as a communist. He's just seen as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Now, that fair or unfair. Where Kamala Harris, and I think at some level Beto as well, are seen as real far to the left. And Beto tries to hide it, Kamala less so. But this is starting to heat up. We could have 30 candidates in this thing.
I think she's going to be... Well, yeah. But I mean, can we... Maybe tomorrow we should look at the 30 candidates.
Okay.
Because how many of them are actually serious? I mean, it's going to be great to watch.
Oh, we are on the right side of this one this year.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to love that.
It's going to be fun to just watch all of them climb over each other to get to Stalin.
We had 30 of the best conservatives I've seen run last time. This is Stalin City. It's going to be great fun.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.